All right, I'm Lissy Friedman. I'm a senior staff attorney at the Public Health Advocacy Institute at Northeastern University School of Law in Boston. I'm going to be talking to you today about the tobacco industry's use of youth smoking prevention programs to distract responsibility away from itself and towards kids and parents. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So this is just a little outline of what we're going to be talking about today. First, I'm going to be defining for you corporate social responsibility, and then honing in on one particular tobacco company's use of corporate social responsibility tactics and one particular tactic, which is youth smoking prevention programs. That's going to be R.J. Reynolds. And then finally, we're going to be talking about how to combat this tactic with denormalization. Just a note, R.J. Reynolds merged with American Tobacco, and they're now known as Reynolds American. But with regard to their youth smoking prevention programs, they still identify as R.J. Reynolds. So we're going to characterize them as R.J. Reynolds for today's purposes. So the study's methodology was that we initially searched the tobacco industry's internal documents, and we also looked at their statements in trial and deposition transcripts. Then, in order to triangulate and verify which of these strategies that they talked about came to fruition, we looked at their public statements in newspapers, again in the trial transcripts, and then we also looked at the websites of the tobacco companies and also individuals and organizations with whom they partnered. So some of you may have heard me talk in the past about corporate social responsibility. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I want to just sort of briefly encapsulate what it means. All companies, all industries use corporate social responsibility to improve their image and to increase sales. This is not unique to the tobacco industry. But what is unique about the tobacco industry using corporate social responsibility is it's completely incompatible with the product that they produce. If they were really being responsible, they'd just go out of business. So one thing that they have decided that all of the companies decided to do starting around the time that they settled with the states who were suing them was to start these youth smoking prevention programs. And a lot of them were laughably ham-handed and fell away, but R.J. Reynolds has persevered, and so that's one of the reasons why we're talking about them today. Youth smoking prevention programs are used to improve the image of the corporation with kids, with their parents, with the general public. Several studies have shown that tobacco industry youth smoking prevention programs are ineffective and most likely purposefully ineffective. And studies have shown that these youth smoking prevention programs actually increase the favorable view of both the tobacco companies and smoking. So R.J. Reynolds in 1999 came up with a curriculum called Right Decisions Right Now. And the original intent of the curriculum was to be distributed in high schools. In middle schools and junior high schools. And they were pretty effective at doing that. They said that they by 2000 they had distributed it to 94% of the nation's schools at that age group. So they hired a group called Lifetime Learning Systems to write their curriculum for them. And this is an internal document. It's sort of a pitch letter from this company, Lifetime Learning Systems, telling R.J. Reynolds why they should hire them to write this curriculum. And they're very brazen. They see it as a marketing tool. But even more insidious, they talk about generating long-term awareness and lasting attitudinal change. That's why this youth smoking prevention program is so much more dangerous than others. It's not just giving a bunch of money to a youth group and hoping that, you know, that the reputational boat will lift you. It's that they're actually trying to shape minds. And so later on in this memo, they also talk about the relative spending power of the various age groups of kids. And they talk about trying to create future customers. So if you weren't convinced by that memo that this is a completely venal, profit-driven exercise. This is a 1999 brainstorming memo from an R.J. Reynolds executive talking about youth smoking, and here's a close-up so you can see it a little better. He calls it a profit zone activity, and he name-checks right decisions right now. So like I was saying, the RDRN curriculum engages kids directly. And I'm going to blow this one up for you, too, so you can see it a little better. And just right, this is what this is the teacher's guide for the fifth graders version of this curriculum. And this one little paragraph sort of encapsulates everything that I think is wrong with this curriculum. It talks about health consequences, but it really downplays the consequences. It talks about phlegm production, coughing, and wheezing, as if fifth graders are going to be really concerned about excess phlegm. Another thing is it says, two, choices are freely made, even if we feel pressure. Only we can be held responsible for our choices and consequences. So again, it's all about making the kids feel responsible for their own habits and later addiction and then later injury and death. And the third point they make is that there is a rational and systematic way of looking at the decisions we make. This assumes that kids that young can even make rational and systematic decisions. And this is a fallacy, since study after study have shown that kids that age, their brains aren't even fully functioning in terms of cognitive and decision-making capabilities. They're not fully formed. So R.J. Reynolds, what they're doing with this is they're trying to gain legitimacy. They want a seat at the table. They want to be seen as a normal corporation, not as a merchant of death. And in the parlance of corporate social responsibility, sometimes we call this innocence by association or the halo effect, where a controversial company will associate itself with a third party, usually a nonprofit, with impeccable credentials, and will try to get the glow and the credibility from that group. And if you had any doubt that they wanted credit for this, they did put their name on the curriculum. So I studied this a few years ago, and I knew that the curriculum was being distributed widely in schools, and that was shocking enough. But as I undertook this study, I found out that not only are they invading our schools, but they're infecting some of our most cherished national organizations, including youth baseball, Boy Scouts, and Miss America. The Boy Scouts are now affiliated with the Right Decisions Right Now curriculum. The little circle that you see on the screen there, that's a new Boy Scout patch. Boy Scouts are indoctrinated with this curriculum. They take a pledge which incorporates the Right Decisions Right Now language that says, I will make the right decisions right now and choose to refuse when offered dangerous substances. And so our Boy Scouts uniforms are now being used as billboards. It may as well say R.J. Reynolds up there. And what's not clicking with the Boy Scouts is that they're being manipulated and used, their credibility is being used to enhance a tobacco company's reputation. One Boy Scout administrator said, right decisions right now and the Boy Scouts go together hand in glove. The decision-making skills taught in the RDRN program complement and reinforce the values we teach our Scouts every day. That's from a tobacco industry document, so they're using that as marketing. They've also gotten involved now with the Miss America pageants and many other pageants. What they do is they have pageant contestants go into the middle schools or to other youth groups and teach their curriculum. And finally, my other example is America's Baseball Camps. This is a letter that was faxed from a baseball camp executive to an RJR executive. Very friendly. Hope you had a great Easter. And if you'll notice, they changed their letterhead. They now are also advertising for R.J. Reynolds on their letterhead. The Right Decisions Right Now logo is given equal prominence to their own. So what can we do about this? The reason why I wanted to talk about this today is because I'm hoping lots of people from the audience will have as much outrage about this as I do and will get interested in in combating this strategy. And the way to do that is through what we call tobacco industry denormalization. And when I talk about denormalization, I'm not talking about denormalizing smoking or denormalizing the product. I'm talking about denormalizing the corporate bad behavior. Denormalization uses counter-marketing and intervention efforts to remove that legitimacy and that normalcy that they're seeking, and to instead generate a support for tighter tobacco control regulation and further tobacco control interventions. Research shows that cultivating an anti-industry attitude helps deter and reduce adolescent, young adult, and adult tobacco use, and also promotes quitting. So across the board, everybody can get behind fighting the tobacco industry. The way you know that the RDRN curriculum is designed to fail is that it does not denormalize the tobacco industry for obvious reasons. So here's a very quick example of a denormalization effort that worked wonderfully. In the year 2000, Philip Morris distributed book covers to middle schools as part of their youth smoking prevention program. And that's the book cover on the screen there. That was designed by the same company that helped create the notoriously youth-friendly Joe Camel campaign. And many people saw subliminal messages in the billboard. If I had more time, I'd have people guess what they are. But I'm just going to tell you. Some people said that the snowboard looks like a match, that the clouds look like puffs of smoke, and that the mountains in the front look like raw tobacco. Also, those, like the RDRN curriculum, those book covers had the company name printed inside them. So what happened? School officials denounced the book covers. They called it a commercial endeavor. They got the students up in arms. They contacted the press. They contacted state attorneys general and public health officials and other public officials, and they put so much pressure, public and with the threat of regulation and investigations, that Philip Morris, they recalled the book covers, and they never tried to directly influence kids like that again. So I hope what you'll take away from today's talk is that we do have the power to reverse this, to get this out of our schools and out of our youth organizations. It's just going to take a lot of people raising their voices and coming up with creative ideas to publicize the insidious and dangerous nature of this program, and to turn the tables and not allow this to continue to lend R.J. Reynolds legitimacy. Here's my contact information, and if anybody would like to contact me and has any ideas for collaborations on how to accomplish this, I'm kind of a policy wonk. I'm looking for activists who want to help me with this. I'd really be interested in people helping me get this out of the schools. Thank you.